Thank you. We're gonna wait 1 minute for TJ. I guess we aren't gonna have Brian. Nobody knows. Not coming. Not. Okay. Well, we do not have Brian today, Diana. From prison. So we'll all just sit and look at you. And you can sit and look at us. Wow, that just shows you how old I am. It is 5:01. Welcome to the May 28, 2025 School District Board of Directors monthly meeting. We do have a quorum, even though Brian's missing, and I will reconvene this meeting at 5:01. Can you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First order of business is to approve the agenda. Any questions or change requests from anyone? Could I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Melanie moves.
Second.
John seconding. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Unanimous. Any public comment? Okay. I love it when we don't have any. Section 2.01, school showcase.
Yay.
You guys are up.
Barb, we're going to start with the infamous Stewart Island School.
Okay.
You have the entire staff and student body here tonight.
Nice.
So I will let our wonderful teacher, Alex Finch, go ahead and brief what's going on and her students.
I think you could talk about all these things that we have for hours, but since we only have 10 minutes today, we're doing a short version. So after living out this year, it's very clear to me that the one room schoolhouse model has to be one of the best ways to educate children, and I think it's so magical that these outer island schools, these small schools, are in a public school system. They are just as magical as they sound, but they also come with a lot of challenges. And through the year, we've really learned a lot and we've grown a lot. And we face a lot of challenges together, and that's only made us closer. And through the help of our amazing community, we have our teamwork, our resilience, we were able to really finish the year off strong. So we're really excited to share a little glimpse of what it was like on the team this year. So this is our class. This is our first day of school. We have Oli, who's in first grade, Hazel in third grade, and Charlotte in second grade. We thought it would be really fun to share a day in the life of a student. It's different than your traditional class. So we had one of their friends, Walker Radonsky, from the Friday Harbor Middle School. He's in sixth grade. He's a great kid. He's come out to Stewart a couple times to visit, and when he was there for spring break, we had him help us film this video. As you can see, with two or three children, school can look a little bit different. It's pretty cool how we have the flexibility to change our schedule around and do what's best for the kids. It kind of took us all year to figure out what worked best for us, but what we finally figured out was getting our core academics in the morning, worked really well for us. And then the afternoons were freed up for a lot of projects and our specials time, like gym and music and art. And we really could spend more time than the traditional classroom, I guess, in those areas because we had so few kids and we were able to really get through academics really quickly. And we actually finished all of our curriculum pretty early this year, about a week or so ago. And the kids took their math test and they did really well. So the system really worked for us. Next, I'm going to invite up Charlotte to share a little bit about her perspective going to Stuart Allen School. What I want to say is that these kids have worked so hard through the school year. It's not easy to be in a school with your sibling. It's not easy to be in a school without your friends.
It was amazing by how much effort they put in, how much growth they've made, and how much contribute, like how much they contributed to our classroom environment, and have really made it a really great place to be myself.
Hello, my name's Charlotte.
So, what is it like working at Stuart Allen?
Good, but a lot of places do
School?
not have it as well.
This is very true. Big learning curve for us all. The bathrooms at the school can be a little smelly sometimes, but then also we don't need to, right? And so this year we really focused on Stuart Allen community and Stuart Allen history, and the girls learned a lot about different facts about our island about people who live there. And so I thought it was fun to share something they learned.
And Stuart talks about Stuart Allen from 89 years ago.
Which is actually one of the younger ones. And what was your favorite memory this year?
My favorite memory was the trip to Disney. And you can see right here that it's meeting with home right there in our tent. And there was snowball. We baked these French treats and that's me in the
So, in the beginning of the year, we went to Pinoy Island French Camp, and that was probably one of my favorite experiences. It was a great time to bond with each other, and that was where we got to meet all the kids from the other outgoing schools. And as the year went on, we realized how important it was to make those connections and the relationships that were formed over that 2 days lasted the whole year. And we still get to Zoom with the other kids, and we send letters back and forth, and Hazel sends a lot of emails with some of her friends. So it was a really great experience.
Hello, my name is Hazel. I'm 13. And it has been a very fun learning experience with Amsterdam. My favorite memory was when we first began that. We turned it into a slip and slide by putting it on the hill so that we turned it into a slip and slide, and everybody got all soapy and dressed and
So something about surround school is that there are a lot of chores to be done, and there's really no janitor team or facilities team to help us. So we are that team. We did a lot of cleaning ourselves, and this was one of those projects. And it wasn't meant to be fun, honestly, but we made it fun, and it was one of the projects.
Thanks, Lynn. Stuart Allen is log starting in the late 1800s. They used large saws to cut logs, horses to drag them, and boats to move them.
Walker helped me with this little sheet, and I think he sets here. First, they cut down the tree. Then, they take a picture of it. We know this because there was a lot of pictures of loggers sitting on their logs that they had just come on. Secondly, they roll it down a hill where a boat drags it to Roach Harbor, where most of this log, most of these logs are actually used in lime kilns to melt limestone.
It was really special to learn about your atmosphere this year and to learn about the school and how long it's been going on Spirit Island. So it feels really more meaningful that we are going to be a part of history for reopening the school. So the last thing we have is a highlight reel. We all made this together, and it was really fun to look back and see how much we've grown. And honestly, we've done a lot of things. So I hope you enjoy this video as much as we.
And as often changes of me take me so is changing so
with our eventful first year. It truly was so magical, and I absolutely love teaching out there, and I love
our community. It truly is just this crazy, incredible experience, and I'm so thankful that I was able to live that experience this year. The last thing I want to say is that we couldn't have done this without the support of so many people. It's truly a typical village, which is crazy for 30 kids. It took so many people to make it happen and to make it successful. I want to an island by myself. I always felt supported from people here. The Stewart Island community members came out of the woodwork. They don't usually do that, but they came out and they volunteered a lot of hours to clean up the school for us. They volunteered their time to teach the kids these skills. And it's been really great to see this community come together and kind of come to life again after being a little bit quiet for 9 years. The Salem Island Public School Foundation donated some items to us that really made our school year go by a lot smoother. All the small schools welcomed us with open arms, and we honestly wouldn't have made it without the support from them and the teachers that came alongside me and showed me how to do life as a wandering schoolhouse teacher. And then, of course, our friends and family helped us a lot and donated a lot and were there to support us through the whole thing. And one thing I wanted to add too is the tourists or the visitors that visit our island. They noticed that the school is open. They were so excited. A lot of them were so excited to see it going. And we've received support from people all over the world. And we'll randomly receive a letter in the mail with a donation, or we'll receive a box of books. Someone even sent us a rug for our library, because I mentioned that we the rug got a mouthpiece all over it at the beginning of the year, and one just showed up. So it's pretty cool to see how many people really care about this school. It's such an amazing experience.
Which one did the library? Charlotte? And you? Oh, it's for you. No, it was there. It was there. Right there. That was a really cool thing. You guys should see that, because what Alex did is say, okay, you guys are in charge of this area, and they kind of made it their own. So if you go out to visit, they will take you to their area to show you how proud they are of it. It's pretty cool. And I also wanted to point out that the third student, it really, it's unfortunate, it's just really more of a, it's probably more than just this reading, but it's a boat issue. He actually lives on John's.
John's.
And so he was coming over every day, but it's hard to do. And then I had to make a decision towards the end. We hope Ole comes back, don't you? I mean, we hope Ole comes back. Yeah. So what is your favorite thing about going to school in Stewart, Hazel?
Well, my favorite is that school gets out a lot earlier and you don't have to do as much school on the day.
But you have to do chores. So there's sort of a trade-off there.
Open flag chores.
We turn the chores into a slimy
slide. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's funny too. You know what other thing that you do that you don't see happen down at the elementary school is students don't ride their four-wheeler to the school.
No.
Yeah.
My dad is
last question for you, Charlotte. What's your favorite thing about going to school in Stewart? Neither of you said Miss Alex. What is your...
So if I come to visit you, you'll pick me up on your quad.
I'm
definitely.
Lily
has no
wheels
right now.
Oh, that's not.
Yes, we can borrow.
Yeah.
We would love to welcome any visitors. We sometimes get
desperate
for
anyone
welcome to come.
That's a neat building.
I'll sign up. Really like welcome. I want to go. That video made me want to go to
Jordan Island School. Yeah.
Good job, girls.
It's a very different experience. We had both experiences of going to a public school and then going to Outer Island School, because I went to Friday Harbor Elementary for the two, And that was a huge transition from being like from kids everywhere to having your sibling and then no one else.
It's also very hard to like just your sibling.
Except for me.
No, that's awesome. Man. You guys did a good job.
Thank you.
Like, yes, thank you so much.
Excitement away.
Yeah.
We have a pool party to go to. So thank you for coming here. We appreciate it. The bungalow and have a swimming pool waiting for you too. The excitement never ends, girls. The excitement never ends. I know. Oh, you're letting her stay tonight. Thank you. I know. All right. Thank you, girls. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
See you later.
See you. Thank you.
In a couple weeks. All right.
Is that it?
Well, there's a early learning team that has to go.
Okay, well, that was really hard to follow. Thanks. We wanted to go first.
Too bad. Yeah.
Well, we have video for you, but we're going to introduce ourselves. I'm Rebecca Bell, the Director of Special Services, and I also oversee the Early Learning Center. Megan Peterson, and I work in the TTK program as a parent special teacher, and I'm also the special leader of the TTK program in the afternoon. And I'm Sarah, the TTK teacher. And that's all we have in the video. Since the beginning of the school year, and now it is the morning class as we are teaching the afternoon. So our developmental pre-K class currently serves 11 students, and they're between the ages of 3 and 5. All students in our classroom have qualified for ECAP, the Early Childhood Education and Assistance Program, based on certain eligibility requirements. And the majority of our students are within. And I am a certified mental specialist teacher, and I have been providing integrated language development support during class. The curriculum that I have been using is built around engaging thematic units, including correlated storybooks, hands-on activities, and art projects. We place a strong emphasis on social and emotional learning with many daily opportunities for students to build their communication skills, develop self-regulation, and form healthy relationships that are so crucial at this age. I'm excited to share an update on one of our district's newest early learning initiatives, the Transition to Kindergarten Program, or TTK. TTK offers a no-cost full-day preschool experience for four-year-olds who may not otherwise have access. Our goal is to help students build the emotional, social, and academic skills they need for a smooth start in kindergarten. With one teacher and one paraeducator, our TTK classroom supports up to 17 students in a nurturing, engaging environment. Looking ahead to 2025-2026, we have already seen the interest from over 43 families for TTK and developmental pre-K programs.
That number alone speaks volumes about the community's trust and growing need for accessible, inclusive early learning opportunities. We are honored by this interest and deeply committed to continuing the work of making early learning accessible, inclusive, and impactful for every child who walks through our doors. We are just so grateful for the continued support from our families, staff, and from leadership as we invest in the future of our youngest learners.
I got cool!
In our transition to kindergarten program, Teaching Strategies Bold is more than an assessment. It's a tool that helps us understand each child. Although Washington State only requires following spring checkpoints, we choose to complete all three, fall, winter, and spring, because this ongoing data truly drives both individualized support and whole group learning. After each checkpoint, we reflect, we set goals, adjust materials, and create small groups based on student needs. Whether we're adding self-regulation tools or supporting early math and literacy skills, every decision is thoughtful and child-centered. Families are value partners. We share data during conferences, we invite their input, and we use tools like Handle with Care to strengthen our connection and support. What makes this process even more meaningful is the alignment of kindergarten. Kindergarten teachers complete their own fall checkpoint using GOLD, and I'm so excited to see how they will be able to build on the data that we have collected and continue each child's learning story.
My friend is my mom.
My mom's the one that has here with ready and kindergarten. That's fine. So thank you, Sue Ward, for helping us. We have you.
This sign was made by a high school student as her community project. So our logo was designed by a high school student. So any questions for our team?
Okay.
Yes.
What did you say the number of kids for next year?
We've already enrolled the 17, and we're currently doing enrollment for the 12 right now, because that's a mixed group of 3 and 4 year olds, and we have to go through the CCAP eligibility process to enroll the 12 in GK. And then our county ECAP providers and early learning community, we're going to fund the kids that don't have a placement with us. We're going to work with those families to try to get a placement in one of the preschools. Our goal, of course, is that every single child with age 3 to 5 has a preschool placement on our island. So we're doing our due diligence as a school to make sure there's placements for kids that didn't exist before. So,
it's a pretty cool little place down there. It really is. It's amazing. This is either for Sarah and Megan at 1% spot. Well, I would like to, but no. Yeah. Sarah and Megan, or either one. What would you say you think is going to be the best, the most impactful thing for these kids that kindergarten teachers will recognize right away? What?
Something with growth. At the beginning of the year, we were doing meal service, lunch service at the Early Learning Center. We slowly transitioned, as you can see us walking up to the elementary school, just getting them familiar with the space, the process of standing in a straight line, and all those little things that you don't honestly think about until standing in a line, writing your name. And like definitely a sense of community, like we've already built these amazing relationships and friendships with each other, aside from academic growth as well, which has been phenomenal. So I hope that kind of
And you had a question.
It was the same as his.
Okay.
About a moment.
It's pretty funny that, that the little thing that, you know, they say walking to lunch at the end of the year, if you went down there, they were on a rope.
they weren't on leashes.
Say that now. But there's no rope anymore.
Second point, but our multilingual learners, we had 5, 6 that were just in the TK classroom that was primarily Spanish speaking. They're bilingual now. So that alone, just watching that grow, that was we see every day, but it's just hearing the feedback from families during conferences, it's just phenomenal. So.
Go ahead.
I just found there was monthly visits and do character play. And it is amazing the difference, even from like September to January. Kids work in January, they're learning how to talk. Like you said, walk, like sit it's in a group and listen, and they're falling over and rolling around, and you know, that's appropriate. And then they slowly but surely like learn what they're supposed to do, and they're listening behaviors and participating. It's really, really wonderful. And so like that is there already.
So they can be mentors.
Oh,
they can be mentors when they get to kindergarten.
Yeah.
And they see the kindergarten class come in for lunch and that process and checking in with Miss Darla and having those conversations, but also relationships like with even the students. Just having that interesting basis, I think.
And the data, the state has put it out. The data is pretty clear that third graders that take their first test, if they've gone to TTK, on almost in all cases, they score higher than those who have not gone to TTK. So the data is pretty clear. It's an add to our entire student journey.
I love so much about our curriculum, too. We spoke about the kindergarten teachers do the same checkpoint in the fall. So it's honestly a continuum. So first to 5, probably up to 6. So more to come, I think we're going to see next year.
Yeah, having the full day next year is another step in the right direction too, right? So we have these 3-year-olds that are moving into TK and then we'll move into kindergarten. We're just really excited about it.
I'm just still amazed that we got it all put together, that you guys got it all put together like that fast and actually had it this year. I mean, I'm just overwhelmed. So now you've done it a year. Is there one thing you picked up from having done it this year that you can't wait to implement next year? I mean, is there something you want to? Yeah.
It's so different. Like, again, back to
the
curriculum, it's just being able to individualize.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Connection with parents and just getting them started going into the system and kindergarten
it's
not just for the students, but for families as well. So,
And we have the furniture now.
Yeah.
I mean, you started with an empty building.
Yeah.
And nothing. So everything. You saw the first slide.
Yeah, just making tables. Yeah.
And as Brock will share a little bit later, there's certain things that we did learn that we need to change in the playground. So he'll talk about that, probably. I think.
It's a huge partnership. If you guys saw this slide with all the people that work in the Early Learning Center, Falling One, Family Resource Center, ECAP, we have PIP in there, all these different partnerships happening. And to pull off DPK full day this year, just midstream went full day, we had to borrow the custodian and we had to borrow the bus driver and get all these. And borrow you and all these people to pull it off. So it's a community that is a village that puts them together. It's pretty amazing.
Awesome.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice job. Fred, you're up. Superintendent report.
Well, some of the things I normally talk about, Brock will talk about tonight. I do want to say, I know Barb will talk about it again later, probably, but we do have this need for a board member to hand out a diploma. And so one at the Friday Harbor High School graduation, and one at the Stewart Island,
really?
Griffin Bay and Friday Harbor High School graduation. So we need that board member for each one of those. You actually hand the diploma to the person. So are there any takers? I mean, I can point to fingers to some.
Griffin Bay.
Barb will do Griffin Bay.
You want to do it? Already, so I'm happy to do it if you want me to. I have to be there.
I've been there, done that. So I'll try it. Go.
Yeah. So we need to just make sure the KDIL knows tomorrow that Mel will be on for the high school, and we need Maude to know first thing in the morning because her program goes out in the morning to get printed. Barb will be on that one. Okay. Other than that, it's a quick run to the end of the year, and it's kind of hard to believe that we're already here, and plans are definitely in the works for what's happening next year. We've got a lot of it done, but there's always more to do. Can I just move on to the next one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So on the review of school plans, you guys had a chance to look at those. I did not ask the principals to speak. If you have any questions on those, you can feel free because it's a review. We don't have all the data back. I mean, there's some, if you took a look at some, I know that Rod was pretty excited about some of the early data that came back on the eighth grade. There's some things that are working well. I'll just say that I thought the goals were pretty specific and in each school, and we're doing our best to address each goal, and we're interested in the final data that we'll have when we present the final review in September. And we tried to highlight those as you read through them, the key points that we wanted you to take a look at. Are there any questions on those?
I had a question for all of you. Do y'all feel like you're on track and it's working well? You're going to make it pretty close? Okay. Okay, thanks.
It's hard to compare tested countries without previous iterations how they've achieved performance.
Mm-hmm.
So our funders did that. So that the tested class has grown a lot, but we will not come in the test to be done that.
But still an improvement.
Absolutely.
Okay.
12 to 20% higher.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's awesome. So,
that's good. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
The new formatting, by the way, for all of you, thank you very much for doing that. Very easy to read.
Thank you.
On ours, there's a couple of similar following the same classes through. It started in the first, second, third. And then we've been following through. And one of those groups, you might have noticed, but that was in January, and we know sometimes it comes to January and February for kids to look at games, so even though it doesn't seem to look like they grow according to the graph, we know that and we both tend to see what happens next, what they grow, you know, all the graphs that people look forward to. So some of those options, and then some of them will be really fun to see what.
Do you have anything, Rod? Okay. Thank you. Yep.
Can you put that ALE report up? I do want to say that when it comes to the three schools, they just have a good feel in it. And I don't know how to explain it any different than that. Kids seem to be happy to be there. And I just think the staff are working really well together to just be better on a constant basis. I'm very proud of our schools for that. One I'm particularly proud of is, of course, Griffin Bay. And the one thing that there are a couple things, you can read this. I'm not going to read all of this, but I think what is really important is on this graph. If you notice the difference between 2023 or 23-24 and 24-25 in the growth of the number of students that are GBS students. And so from 53 to 75, quite significant. And that does include 7 open doors, but that's still a headcount that we have to deal with, just not on an everyday basis. It's a little bit different. But still, that would be that we're at 68 students compared to 53 last year, which also included some open doors, I think. In any case, what our biggest issue, I wouldn't say issue, but our biggest growth that we weren't ready for to some degree is the headcount of students that have IEPs or in special education. We're now up to 20 students. And the data at the bottom, the ratio of students to certified instructional staff is now at 31 to 34 this year. And that's not easy, especially when you consider that you are teaching several different individual students. You don't just have one class where all the learning one thing. You could have 18 kids in that room that period. Because no student goes all day in Griffin Bay. No student is an all-day student. That'd be tough to stay in that building all day. It's an alternative learning style. But if you have 18 students, like, for example, Ben has in there, there could be your biggest class of could be of 3 taking a math, another one's taking this, and another one's taking this. So it's quite a job. And therefore, we did increase our staffing there next year. We did hire a 0.8 special education teacher. And so we'll be at 2.8 instead of 2.0 certified staff. And we also, even though we do not have that grant anymore to pay for it, we are keeping our graduation coach and math tutor. But we've seen growth. And the other thing that we're kind of proud of is that before COVID, we were really having a hard time getting a few members to have a high graduation rate. And now we're starting to see that be consistently high. It would go up and down. Now we're seeing it be more consistent. Our goal is 100%. Last year we were there. The year before we were 80-something. This year we're at 77. And there are a lot of reasons for it. But if you're excited about seeing Griffin Bay, you can see 10 happy people graduate in the Grange Hall at noon on Saturday the 7th, because they are excited. In fact, two of the student girls, they're the ones that really developed the program for it. It was pretty cool to see. And because they want to have some of the same experience of Fighting Harbor High School, I don't know if they're going to get down, they're trying to create that slideshow, you know, but trying to get a baby picture from some of them, the baby in the middle school, it doesn't always work. They've had to really work hard to see what they can get. We're hoping we pull it off by that Saturday. And one thing about the Griffin Bay graduation is about 35 minutes, 40 minutes, and then they have a little dinner outside on the deck. So it's a pretty cool little graduation. We're pretty proud of where we're going, but we are growing, and we've already had quite a few contacts for wanting to enroll from the remote side of it. Off-island students wanting to enroll next fall. So it's a good problem to have. I'd love to have to come back to you in September and say, I'm sorry, we just picked up 20 more and I need to hire another teacher. So that's a good problem to have. Mm-hmm. Any questions on Griffin Bay? Annual report we got to give you?
Okay. So on to capital projects.
Hello, everybody. I feel bad. I don't have a video or slideshow or anything, so I don't sing or dance. I mean, this could be boring, but it is capital projects. All right, lots going on in the capital projects world. I listed all the projects that we've completed from the last levy, and even when I was writing it down, I'm like, man, we've got a lot of stuff done. There's some big ones on there, the middle school roof, the science remodel, the STEM to conclude art. Those were things that we had been trying for a lot of years to get done, and finally we got them completed. So that was exciting to look at that. And the projects that are currently underway or scheduled for this summer, some big ones again. The high school exterior re-siding and paint. Unfortunately, we went out to bid to do both buildings, the high school and the middle school. The bids came back pretty incredibly high. We realized, we got some feedback from the contractors. We realized that the time frame that we have, not a huge time frame to get both jobs done. So I talked with Fred and we decided to split them up, and go with one building this year and another building next year. We'll go out to bid again just for the high school. And we got a bid, we accepted it. So that will be starting the week of June 17th. Not sure the exact day. I had a walkthrough with them on Tuesday. But that first week, school's out. They're going to get in and get started. So that's exciting. We get lots of unhappy phone calls about that for the last 5 or 6 years. So it'll be nice to get happy phone calls. Let's see. The gutter replacement. Holly, your gutters are being replaced this summer. We got a great bid from a company. We're going to even put covers on them so all those pine needles don't go and ruin it right away. That's happening this summer as well. That's scheduled for August. The ELC playground, that kind of came together quickly. It was some grants were found. We met out there, came up with some ideas. We had an old drawing. I'm not sure who made that drawing before, you probably know, but it was a drawing for like $250,000 playground. And I'm like, well, we can't obviously have $250,000 playground, but we can take some of these ideas. So met with some contractors and came up with some ideas, and that's actually scheduled for I think it's the 22nd of July is the exact date for MEM to come out and get started. And we're going to make it safe first and foremost, redo the little, walkway, rideway. We're going to reconcrete that. We're going to tear off with logs and make some nice sand play areas. We're going to bring some toys in and some wood chips, and it's going to look like a whole different place. And we're doing it for about a tenth of what that bid was. So we have some great local Islanders who were excited to do the job and get in and get it done. And we came together with some ideas, and here we are. So Becky just let me know that she got some grants for the playground equipment. So that's exciting. The Stewart Island Outhouse, says summer of 2025. That's a little bit more involved and in depth than what we originally thought. So that's still a work in progress, but the goal is to get that done this summer, or at least have a great plan in place to move forward to get it done.
Is that going to be a ROMTEC?
ASAP. Excuse me?
Is it going to be a ROMTEC, or are we going to build it?
I don't have an answer for that yet. Not sure yet. We have to talk with the Parks Department and see what they're willing to invest, because it's not just Stewart Island School that uses that. It's like everybody that visits the island goes in there. So
like 8,000 a month. It's just crazy.
They've just been digging holes, putting their outhouse over it, filling them up, moving it, digging holes, and was trying to see if we come up with another solution.
Yeah.
So as you move down, well, let's talk about the cost of the residing and painting. We had a few bids. I mean, the lowest bid was $1.3 million. That's what pushed the project into two projects. It separated us. Now that moves it into 2 years. That gives us time limits on the other projects and also gives us budget limitations. And so I put out the next few years of the levy cycle. And if you scroll to the bottom where it says, actually be on the next page, moved off this levy cycle. The elementary gym ceiling and elementary interior walls and painting, that was scheduled for year four of this levy. Not that they don't need to be done, but I think these other things are more pressing. There's a few projects on there. The maintenance shed and parking, Turnbull Gym remodel, they've actually been bumped off the last two levy cycles. So we're going on 8 years of those things being bumped off. They need to get completed. This will only push those projects back really one calendar year if we then put them on year one of the new levy that we'll go off for. So that was my determination. If you can go back to years two and three and four, the bleachers, they're all in year four. They all need to be done. And talking with the company, if we get them all done at the same time, logistically, it saves us money because they'll have their guys out here. They can just hammer them out and get them completed. These are all solid bids that I've gotten from them that came out and gave bids. Now, granted, they're 3 years old, so they could be slightly higher, but those aren't guesses. Those were actual hard numbers at the time. We have a good working relationship with this company. They're KCDA, so we don't have to try and get more bids. They did our Turnbull gym bleachers. They're great. They come and do the maintenance. So that I'm excited about. The other stuff you can see on there, Griffin Bay Furniture, Elementary Carpet. That was also a solid bid from another Division 9 Flooring. They're another company that has a KCDA a government contract. They've done a lot of the flooring in here. So looking forward to getting them all done. But the big one on there is the residing and paint. I'll breathe easier when it's actually done. Even walking through and talking about it, shaking hands, I'm like, is this really going to get done? But they were excited. The company seems great. The subcontractors seemed well. The siders and the painters were there on Tuesday. Well, that was yesterday. This week is weird with the holiday, and there's so much going on with all my jobs. It feels like Friday, Tuesday, Monday, I'm not sure. But does anyone have any questions on these capital projects or concerns?
No. Just concerned with everyone signing off what they're going to find.
That is a concern. That is a concern.
The only thing I'm scared about is like, oh,
change orders are a real thing. Yeah. Hopefully, yeah, we won't have too many. But yeah, they do know that.
Yeah.
And the bad thing is anything that costs more money, that moves things off of the letter cycle into the next one.
It's got to be done.
But we have some have tos, and this is a have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Any questions?
The only thing I'd ask is, like, is there any risk to any of your three or four stuff getting bumped due to your one or two or three things being more expensive? Like, what would be the thing in year four that gets bumped to the next round if that were to happen? Like, for example, bids come back in way higher than you thought for
a week. We would have to sit down and just go over this again.
Okay. There's not one thing that kind
of
stands out.
And I don't think it's year four. So part of it is cash flow.
Got it.
And then we'll sit down and talk priority, and we'll look at what we think is the worst. So I'm not saying we would, but we could move a football bleacher up in front of an elementary carpet. Now, I'm not saying they will. I'm just saying if that's a more dangerous issue, we'll change things around. Okay. And unfortunately, that happens on levee cycles all the time.
Okay. Can I speak to the football field bleacher?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the same companies or not, but the fairgrounds is looking to replace all their exterior bleachers as well. If there was some way to mesh, like with the outhouse.
I'll let them know. Okay. I'll let the company know.
Okay.
They're a great company. I've enjoyed working with them. They were great with Turnbull Gym. They've been great on giving me bids. They're good when they come out and do maintenance. So I have nothing but good things to say about that company. So I will let them know. Maybe that is a possibility. Maybe it can lower the price for both of us.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Two reasons to be here, not just one.
Yeah. Well, that's why I try to give them three reasons to be here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I think you're still up with the athletic.
I am. Hold on a second. Okay.
Oh, wait, guys, switch hats.
Thanks, bro.
You guys received this. It's the projected athletic budget for 25-26. I can't believe I'm saying that. But it is. It's here. It's self-explanatory. I'm not sure if you had a chance to look over it, if you had any questions. One thing I will say, I was looking at the projected athletic budget for 24-25. I'm very glad this only came in $6,000 higher than a year ago, especially with the cost of everything.
That's awesome.
The way things have shaped out. And we're actually coming in that with a lower ask because revenue has been up some. So we have a little bit higher projected revenue. We're middle school sports. We're bumping our fee up. It hasn't changed in a very, very, very long time. We charge $150 for high school sports, which lasts roughly 10 weeks. Middle school seasons are 6 weeks. So 60% of that is what we're charging. I feel that's fair. That does help our revenue some. We've also had higher participation in middle school sports. We had 30 volleyballers, 30-something track and field athletes, so that's way up. I mean, Michael McKinnon, our volleyball coach, unfortunately, he resigned this year, hired another one, but he was like, you know, when I started, I had, you know, 13. I was that, but he had almost too many this last season. But so it shakes out pretty well. Things like equipment, those haven't changed. Those numbers have relatively stayed the same. You'll notice some sports have higher equipment numbers. That's just because of the things that are necessary to purchase to do the sport. Baseball, softball, unfortunately, 7 dozen baseballs is $900 now. And yeah. 7 dozen softballs is $900, and that's what I have to buy for a season. So those kinds of things just happen. Football's equipment is crazy, but reconditioning helmets cost a lot of money, and I have to do it. All those kinds of things fall into that. But any questions on the athletic?
So on the shortfall, you scroll over. Funding needed beyond revenue. Does that come from my undergrad?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just always have to check because I never believe it.
Yeah, these numbers here, postseason, that's an average. I take an average of like 3 years of what we've been spending. Uniforms, same. We're on a uniform cycle every 4 years. Contingencies and capital outlays are for things like, I'll give you a great example, middle school track this year, they had all these athletes and they had like 25 jerseys. And so I didn't have it in the budget to buy shirts for them all, but I have contingencies for things like that. So I ordered 40 t-shirts and got them done, and they got here. So they'll have them next year and they'll be ready to go. Or like the volleyball standards, you know, they're holding that up. They're thousands of dollars. That would be something for like a one-time capital outlay, which just gets spread out. Our cheerleader mats we bought a couple of years ago, things like that. I don't see flag football on there. No flag football on there right now. No.
Okay. Told you someone would ask.
We discussed this yesterday, yeah. And I'll give you my my Reader's Digest version. So no team, no school in our league will have flag football next year. I'm not sure about any of the 1As or 2As, possibly. The WIA has made it very – you can put it in any season. So I'm not sure which season you'd put it in. I'm not sure what other teams, you know, what season they'd put it in. And with our draw of athletes, you know, what sports do I want to take athletes away from? If I'm coaching volleyball or I'm coaching girls soccer in the fall,
awesome.
I'm not going to be too happy. A new sport comes in and I lose maybe 10 athletes off my team. So it's tricky, and I have not had one student ask me about it. I've had some adults ask me about it, and every adult I've had ask me about it doesn't have any kids in the school, but they read an article or they saw something. Mm-hmm. And so I just let them know. So is it possible that it could come in the future? Yes. Is it going to come next year? No. So okay. If you get a group of girls that are fired up and, you know, that there's a good core that want to do it, then we'll definitely look into doing it. When, I'm not sure which spring, fall, I don't know. Who would they play? Who's going to have it around here? I just don't have any of those answers yet.
Okay.
So I hope that makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Thank you. That's good. Thanks.
Well,
appreciate it. Okay. Have a nice drive. Have a nice drive again.
Yeah, thanks a lot for that. Thank you. Thanks.
Wait, transfer microphone.
Oh, good. I don't want.
Yeah, we could have lived in the hole, but come on. Okay. There was gold. Freaking gold out of that.
Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. First, we accept with gratitude donations from the Public Schools Foundation in the amount of $10,688 for supplies, from Northwest Electric and Solar in the amount of $12,000 for solar install on the STEM building to enhance what we already have, and Rotary Club in the amount of $850 for spelling bee and literacy programs. So on the actual agenda itself, could I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I so move.
John moved.
Second.
Thank you. Melanie seconded. Any discussion on any of it?
Do we have battery backup for the solar panels, Fred?
I don't think so yet. So we're going to see what this company does when they come in. So I don't think we have that yet. Okay. But we didn't know the ones that we had on there to begin with.
Okay, no other discussion? Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Yes.
Approved. Jose's not here. Monthly enrollment. Oh, he's hiding.
He's back there being all. He's social distancing.
Thank you.
We're having a little bit of an issue with the credit cards that were authorized for the schools. And the what we decided to do was to, and the board approved, of issuing debit cards instead. We could put money into the account to facilitate purchases at the buildings. Once that was approved, I then read up the state auditor's best practices, and debit cards are not the best practice because if you lose the card, it has a PIN, they can take all your money out of the bank account with zero recourse. And while that's somewhat unlikely it'll happen. It is a risk. And instead, I spoke to the bank, and the issue was that they put an artificially low combined limit on our credit cards, and I was able to increase the limit, the combined limit, so that no one would get frozen out of their individual credit cards. So I'm presenting this resolution so that we continue with the credit cards in the buildings, not debit cards. There will be one debit card remaining, which is an athletics one. Purple and Gold is funding overnight trips for our students for meals, $25 per day per student. And the easiest way to do that is with a debit card. And we're going to put the procedures in place every time the card is issued when we get it back to prevent the potential for fraud. And we'll keep a log. We'll change the pins every time that it's used, because that's easy to do. And that's going to be much easier than trying to do a credit card and getting authorization letters for the coaches to use those. And sometimes the coach might, it's up to them whether they want to stick, if they want to manage it and just get the team meal, or if they want to give the kids, cash to stop somewhere, which they often do on the way back at the grocery store, and get whatever they want at the grocery store. So that's where we're going to go with a debit card. Any questions?
So could I have a motion to approve resolution 25006 concerning revolving funds?
Make a motion,
please. Be
David. Oh, yeah.
Melanie seconding. Any questions? All in favor?
Yes, yes. Okay.
Approved. On to additional director reports. Brian, do you have anything?
Nope.
Brian's not here. Melanie? Nope. Okay. TJ?
No.
Okay. Shocker. So I would like to thank Mia Germain and Vera Schultz, our student reps, who aren't here today. But I'd like to thank them for their service, and we'll see Vera back next year, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hoping to, yeah.
Okay. And then lastly, it's John's birthday today, so we're going to have a birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, John.
Yeah. Want to add the calendar? You'll need a calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah, calendar.
Now we need to look at the calendar.
I do want to potential add. So on June exit interview, exit conference, what's that day?
Third.
Not June 3rd. Okay. Not June 3rd. I think she's right. I think it's June 5th. Okay, so the reason why I bring that up, we usually have two people there. If there's more than two, I got to call it a board meeting for you to come to it.
You prefer 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. So is anybody else of you besides TJ going to come to that? So Barb and TJ?
Barb and TJ. And I'll just move real quick.
Okay, so just Barb and TJ, and then we'll have to follow the board game. And then we'll...
Thank you. Yeah.